Prisoner 24601. Oh, God. I wore this for 2 years in a Viet Cong internment center. Never thought I'd see the old girl again.
Still fits.
Small world, huh?
It is. It really, really is.
Hello and welcome to Put an H, Season 5!
Woohoo!
My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, and how are you?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. Delighted to be back. And how the hell are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
I'm very well, actually.
You are just back. You've got quite the tan.
Do I?
Yeah, you got colour.
From your honeymoon.
Yes.
How did it go?
It was fantastic. It was 3 weeks of just, I don't know, island life.
Island bliss.
Yeah,
basically.
Pretty much. First hotel we stayed in was called Bliss. So that sort of says it all. Like,
perfect.
But it was just sort of,
It
was a great month of it. We did the wedding for about a week before.
Great wedding as well.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And I don't know if you were there for, there was quite the old Simpsons sing-along again.
In the kitchen?
In the kitchen.
No, I missed all the kitchen.
The first night and the second night, I think. But my throat was red raw. I had to be on antibiotics going on my honeymoon because I had such a bad throat.
Say my rest.
There's a lot of that. Like the first night we did, everybody was singing along, and then I think Kiki was a friend of the podcast, Kiki McCormick, was there, and he just went like, "Long before the Super Bowl." And that sort of started. And I was like, all right, we do one. Like,
I got one more.
And I was like, did see my vest. But like, the whole, like, there's about 20 people in the place and everybody was singing along and like,
brilliant.
On the tables, like, banging their feet and all. It was fantastic.
Perfect. It's good that the last couple of big, like, sort of, actually, well, at the stag and at the wedding, there was the Simpsons sing-alongs. So.
There's a few bits of Simpsons in the wedding.
You had the Simpsons reference in your speech, which I did not get.
One person got it. I went around and sort of told everybody that there will be a quote.
It was such an obscure one. Yeah. Mark got it straight away. And if you're listening, fair play, Mark. And I almost tried to pass it off with me. Because then you're like, "Did you get it?" I was like, "Yeah, I got it."
Yeah.
And then like for 10 seconds, I was like, "No, Mark told me.
Mark won the game. He is the only true Simpsons fan out there.
Yeah.
And I remember I was saying it to my best man, Brian. He was like, "What was the quote?" And I said, the quote was, "And it wasn't long before this annual tradition became a yearly custom."
Yeah.
And he was like, "I remember you saying that." And I was like, "That doesn't make any sense." I didn't want to, break your flow or whatever like that.
Imagine
like,
he does, he just stops. "Excuse me, what do you mean by that? You never say that." No, that went right over my head. And I was listening so intently for it.
Yeah.
As the co-host of a Simpsons podcast, I felt it was my duty to get this answer. But didn't happen.
To be honest, I didn't think anybody would get it. So, fair play, Mark.
Yeah, well done, Mark. He should be sitting there, not me.
Oh, listen, I meant to talk to you about that.
We're going to change things up this season.
Guest host.
Terry, he's been guest hosting the last 10. When am I going to get back in?
Ratings are through the roof, Andy.
But yeah, it was great. It was a great wedding, and I'm glad to hear the honeymoon as well.
Yeah,
I haven't had anything as exciting as that. Now we did get a cat.
Oh,
so you know that's a bit as interesting as
I also got a cat.
You couldn't let me have it, could you?
Finally, the cat podcast that I've been always hoping for could maybe get up and running now.
Cat. He is sitting here beside us, a tiny little thing.
Yeah, little Cosmo.
I love it. Love the name.
Yeah. That was what I said to Faye, was if we ever get another pet, call it Cosmo, after Kramer.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's good to get that in as well before the pet is actually there.
Yeah.
So it's not even a debate when you get one.
And then when Faye got the cat, surprised me with a kitten, and she's like, "This is Cosmo." I was like,
Perfect.
But I was completely taken aback.
I'd say so. We get, like, when we got ours, it was Joni called it Arlo. But like she'd been calling a neighbor's cat Arlo, even though that's not his name. And I was just driving out of my garden one day and I just seen original Arlo just like dead in the middle of the road surrounded by my
friends. Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, oh shit, that's Arlo. I was like, I didn't say it or anything. So now we have Arlo 2.0.
Okay. Arlo 2.
Yeah. So listen, it took a dark turn.
I was not expecting that, to be honest.
Keep it like
that. Yeah. First one back.
So... Anyway, we have a cat, and that's that. Yeah. So
that rhymes.
We shall.
We'll see if we can remember how to do this. It's been a while.
Every time we take a few weeks or whatever, I feel like, what do I do? What's my name again?
What's my name again?
Sure. So I guess I normally start things off with a bit of trivia.
Yeah. Hit me.
So. Let me start with the old Reception. It's got a Nielsen rating of 12.7, translating to just under 12 million households. It aired in September 1993, received very positive reviews. A few interesting things that I thought about it was that there's a few special guests in this particular one. And when George Harrison came in, apparently it was supposed to be like a big secret because he came in and like the writers weren't going to tell anybody about it. Although when Matt Groening went to see him, he came back into the writers room being like, guess who I just met? George Harrison. It was supposed to be a secret. Apparently Matt Groening recalls that Harrison was actually pretty glum and unenthusiastic when staff asked him about the Beatles. But when Matt Groening asked him about the Wonderwall album that he made, which is like a solo thing in like the 60s, he suddenly perked up because that was one of the solo albums and he was rarely questioned on it.
Yeah.
But he was one of Groening's favorites, although I feel like Groening's got a lot of favorites.
Yeah.
His favorite guest, because he was just super nice and very sweet and he arrived like without an entourage or whatever like that, just very normal.
The opposite of Michael Jackson.
Basically, yeah. We also have my man David Crosby featuring in this episode as well.
I wonder if they just recorded his stuff when he was in doing the other episode.
Doing the original,
and then
yeah.
like we're gonna use this in a future episode.
I'd imagine he didn't have a lot on in 1993.
Yeah.
But it was this episode as well was a holdover episode from season 4.
And that makes sense then.
Yeah. So maybe it was.
Yeah.
Because it was chosen as the 5th season's premiere because it had George Harrison in it and all that sort of stuff. It was originally going to be Homer Goes to College.
Ooh.
But you know they had George Harrison, so that was sort of a big thing to start with. And what else was there? The voice of the B sharps was voiced by a barbershop quartet called the Dapper Dans,
mm-hmm.
Who performed at Disneyland in California. One of the writers seen them there and sort of loved them and contacted them and all that sort of stuff. And finally, there was a scene in the episode which I thought was kind of interesting, where Lisa sees a guy selling the original Malibu Stacy from the 50s that has big pointed boobs.
Yeah.
And he says, we took it off the market after I put some kid's eye out. And they received a censor note from Fox Network censors because they didn't want to switch jokes on the show, but the producers ignored the note and the joke appeared in the episode when it aired. Which I say, good.
Hmm.
Because it's kind of rare that they just sort of just plow on anyway, but I guess by season 5 they're sort of, we'll tell you what's
yeah,
what.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the Simpsons, damn it. So, I mean, that's kind of it. I don't have a huge amount more, unless you have any gems.
No, I was going to say the Dapper Dans. They're obviously as a reference to the Apple recordings at the end, but maybe we'll go through that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was done by Jeff Martin and Mark Kirkland, who apparently were huge, huge Beatles fans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to jump right in.
I have been dying to jump on it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Interested to talk about it. So, shall we start with the couch gag?
Yes. What was your couch gag?
My couch gag was 3 takes.
Yeah, where it was like 3 different ones.
Yeah, and it was like, take 2.
I quite liked all of them, to be honest. Yeah. Where they like run into each other and explode, run into each other and morph into one blob or something like that.
When Homer puts all the soaps together, Marge puts all these little tiny soaps together and they're trying to save money.
Oh, yeah.
And all the little the empty bars of soap.
I just like the sort of the way the animation worked, you know, like when they ran into each other, like the explosion was just at the right time. Mm. And it was good. I actually liked it. I do remember what the chalkboard gag was.
What was it?
It's like I have never won a Grammy or something like that, is that what you said? Which was
topical,
which was, fine.
So I guess the episode starts at the Springfield swap meet.
I'm already a fan.
Yeah.
Seems to see anything taking place outside of the house or like some just,
when they're adding a bit of like color or background to like the world that we already know, like this little sort of subsection of Springfield. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like that, like, Quimby in his rare form.
Yeah, Quimby's great in this episode.
Human roaches feeding on the garbage. So, basically, there's a line here that I really enjoyed where it was like, Ich bin ein Springfield swap meet patron.
Yeah. And then as he's leaving, he's like, I need a drink and a shower.
And we sort of jump over to we jump all around the place to start here, and it's first is at Mo with his hand painted clams oyster shells,
the oysters,
Lucille Ball, I don't know, I've never seen an episode of it. I know what it's referencing in I Love Lucy, but like.
Yeah,
I've never, it's not a big thing over this side of the world. It was huge in America, obviously.
It really wasn't
never
on at all here, was it?
Didn't cross over at all. Like, even like other shows, like.
Was it attempted?
No, I don't know, because it was in like the 50s.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the 60s, yeah.
Televisions.
Yeah, but like, even, like, say something like The Jeffersons. Like, you know, you've seen an episode. Or there's, it has been on in the past. I don't think I've ever. Or something like Bewitched used to be on.
There
was never. Any attempt, I don't think, to have that crossover to this side of the world.
They can keep it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Next one we jump over to is Flanders, and it's the guys are looking at Milhouse, Bart, and Nelson are looking at free trading cards. Joseph of Arimathea, 26 conversions.
A Methuselah rookie card.
Yeah, and then when they find out it's religion, when Flanders like, oh, religion can be fun, or learning about religion is fun, it's like, learning? Religion? Let's get out of here.
I love that gag, like, and they can use it for so many different things, it's just that, let's get out of here, for something that's not threatening at all.
Yeah.
Like, so freaked out.
And like we talked about, Lisa finds an original
one of those places. Yeah. We're keeping it in.
Yeah. And I like this next thing with Skinner.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my, prisoner 24601. I wore this for 2 years in a Viet Cong internment center. Never thought I'd see the old girl again.
Small world, huh?
I like how he puts it on there. It's like, still fit? It is. It really, really,
really, really is. I was already laughing. That was the first big laugh I got in the episode. And he's just there. It was like, small world, huh?
It is.
It really, really
is. I mean, Skinner is... Like I say, he's a very. I don't think he gets the love that I think he deserves.
Like from fans.
Yeah, like people always talk about Wiggum and other like Mo.
I'd have Skinner over Wiggum for sure.
Yeah, looking back on them now, like Wiggum is good, but like I definitely have Skinner over him.
Yeah, 100%. Skinner's great.
So next one is Homer, and it's a few visual gags here.
He's rooting through all the stuff, like
5 cent bin.
Did original Superman was one.
Yeah, there was the Constitution.
Yeah,
the original Constitution. Though I didn't really understand the stamps.
No,
I guess
they were collectors. Yeah. Edition. Some
Strata Hoovius. So like that's a nice little joke there.
Yeah,
Homer's stupid, obviously. And then it's over to Marge, and it's. I really like this character. He never has a name, but he's always just the jerk. Yeah, he's just that guy. Like, He's like shits on everything around him. Like,
your teenage son or daughter will think this wishbone necklace is really cool.
I doubt my son or daughter is that stupid. And just walks on like
it's such a jerk.
And
I like the whole thing afterwards where they're going through like the records.
Love
it's
it.
Like Melvin and the squirrels, like part of the rodent invasion of the early 60s.
Stack a feather in his cap and call it right there, Ronnie.
Melvin! They just look at each other and shrug, which you would do, yeah. But if it's totally out of context, you're just like, what is this?
I love that. And I always sort of reference it. It's like, Melvin! I think it's because I love the Chipmunks, the Christmas song.
Me, I wanna hula hoop.
A hula hoop he wants, Douglas.
What a great show.
That's next podcast. So then they see it's Homer on the front of a record.
Love it.
And
love this episode.
So Bart asks, when did he record an album? Homer says that, you know, it was only 8 years ago. He's surprised he doesn't remember. And Bart fires back with, thanks to television, I can't remember what happened 8 minutes ago. And then it's sort of, I don't know, I don't really like this joke. I don't know why.
It's because it's just kind of, it's not quite there. It's not quite fully cooked.
It reminds me of the, like, me lose brain. Why I left, like that sort of,
yeah,
that one didn't like land to me, and I don't think this one lands
where they're laughing and it's like, yeah, really, it's a serious problem.
And then he just starts laughing. He's like,
yeah, next. You can't win them all.
No. So Homer starts telling us it happened during the magical summer of 1985, which it was 93. Yeah, makes sense.
Seems like so long ago.
It dates it, though. It really, like, dates the show. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I keep forgetting, like, when the show was aired, that would have only been, they were talking about, like you said, 8 years ago. But
yeah,
it seems like such a long time. 1985.
So, basically, Homer was in a barbershop quartet, he tells him, and they practiced every day at Moe's. Now, we'll put a little asterisk or a disclaimer here because we're getting into the flashback part of it, and we know there's a lot of musical points here, but we're not going to play any of those tracks here. All right?
We know what you want.
Yeah. And you're not getting it. We're getting tough on you guys.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah. And I don't care. if you stick with us, we might
treat you.
We'll reward those who make it to the end with some music.
So I like this where they're doing their song and it's like the crowd went wild and it's just Barney sitting there he's throwing. I think like there's roses go up, but there's actually a pair of women's underwear that goes up there.
He's just reaching in and he's throwing everything.
Here's
a joke that didn't land for me when Bart's like, barbershop, that ain't been popular since I was six, dang dammit. And he's like, no talking like a grizzled 1980s prospector. I was like, no. Just didn't work.
You know what, though? That part didn't work. But the last bit of it where he's like, concern it. Like a little downbeat. Because there's a little beat in between it. Like where it's like, no talking like and whatever. And then it's like a little pause. And he's like, concern it. That bit got
me. You back over.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, when I was listening to this, it was like rock and roll had become stagnant. Achy Breaky Heart was 7 years away and something had to fill the void. And I was thinking to myself, what was going on music-wise in the 80s? It was hair metal,
in 1985?
Like Motley Crue or...
Motley Crue, I guess. Like
Bon Jovi.
Rock was on its arse
in the 80s.
I mean, well, depending on who you ask. I mean, if you like that hair metal or... you know, glam, whatever, not so even glam. All that AC/DC and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you'd have like Robert Palmer, I guess. Like, anyone, here's the rule that I think holds.
Hold on,
true.
Let me get me your soapbox so you can stand on it there.
If I may.
Yeah.
I think any band that was out, that came out in the 80s, had a good 80s. But any band that was out in the 60s or 70s, had a terrible 80s.
Okay, I get you. Yeah.
If they started in the 80s, fair enough. But if I think if they were in, if they started any time before like 75,
to adapt,
yeah, okay. Like they just everyone just went shit.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? That's my 2 cents. In here.
Okay. So we're back to the guys performing, and it's they're doing "Goodbye, My Coney Island Baby."
Goodbye, my. Now, there's no music count for us singing.
Yeah, we can go.
Goodbye, my Coney Island Baby. Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah.
That's not bad. Yeah,
thank you.
And I like Grandpa.
Yeah, that's my son up there.
What? The bowling fetish?
No, the Hindu guy.
Now, you know, they're jumping over the performances here, and they're doing the one in the prison. And I was like, I'm going to nail that cop right between the eyes. Right after the song. And then when they hits him, the way the body
does a wiggle,
he's been like electrocuted or something like that.
It's so satisfying.
And that's the first of like a few like physical comedy beats from Wiggle this episode. I was like, okay, yeah, I like it. And so then they are at the church. And it's the same thing. But I really love that, like, Reverend Lovelace, like, ching, ching.
Yeah. Flanders, of course, like, you know, Reverend, this really isn't a hymn.
Like, nah, there's an oil stain in the parking lot. It looks just like St. Barnabas.
Oh, my stars. Now, here's a little pet peeve of mine when they're singing, you know,
goodbye. Farewell.
Shop Quickie Mart and save. That drives me fucking mental because it's just like, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like that's the joke, I guess, but I mean, it leaves me very unsatisfied.
Yeah, I get you. I didn't care for it this time around. I didn't
care for it either.
Yeah. And then we get. Now, and when they were doing this gig in Moe's, it was packed with like young women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, I know it's supposed to be the Beatles or whatever that, but like, you know, not for me, but, you know. Not for me, like, you know, just.
Yeah.
Like,
it didn't really work.
They never, ever mentioned it's it like before.
Why?
Yeah.
You know,
never.
Why are they there?
Yeah, exactly. Like.
Yeah, and I like the fact that when the record producer or whatever is there, it's just the quintessential
theatrical agent.
Oh, excuse me. It's just exactly like the standard stereotypical like greasy
Rob
like
in Wayne's World. So, but except he's British, and I like that he's like, you've got it all except that police officer.
Yeah.
Two village people. and then this was something that I was like as a kid was like, where are we going? Where are we going?
Yeah,
like,
in the car. In the car. As a dog. Yeah. Run along, boy. You're free now.
Great joke. Like, no, no,
no.
Yeah. So then they change. It's Apu and the Hasipin pedal on. It's like, never fit on the marquee, though. Apu the Beaumarchais.
I don't get that joke. Should I get it?
I don't know. It just sounds,
it's a great dishonor to my ancestors.
Okay, hold on.
Not in this climate. Yeah, you can't do that accent.
You cannot.
Surprise me in rehearsal. Yeah. Don't surprise me live on it.
Are we going to have a listen to the guys auditioning Chief Wiggum's replacement now?
We shall indeed. It feels so good to get those clips back in again. So, let's do it.
The next day, we started auditioning for Chief Wiggum's replacement.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a chick, swinging his chick I know, with a wiggle wiggle here and a wiggle wiggle there.
Get off the stage.
I want to, but I can't.
When you're alone and life is getting you lonely, you can always go, ach, doon toon.
Next.
If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals.
Good Lord, Dr. Doolittle is Chief Wiggum.
This bird's gonna fly.
It was one lousy applicant after another. And then...
Over in Kalani, so many years ago...
Such a voice.
Who is that?
Me mither sang this song to me in tones so soft and...
Barney!
Just a little Irish ditty.
Barney, how'd you like to sing for our group?
Sure, why not? Now, where's me toothpick?
Tor-a-lor-a-lor-a, tor-a-lor-a-la.
Wiggum forever, Barney never. Wiggum forever, Barney never. Wiggum forever.
Now, listen, we know that was a longish clip. But I think you'll agree, it's just, I mean, I'd almost love to just play the whole episode, yeah. You know, but any thoughts on favourite moments on that?
I have a lot. Grandpa, his guy, wiggle, I love Willie. When you're alone and life is getting you down, you can always go, ach, doon too. And also Jasper.
I love that.
And then the capper is Wiggum.
Now, I liked the fact that when he was Dr. Doolittle here, and they sort of discovered that it is, as you heard.
Yeah.
But, like, I love the fact, I don't know why I always picked up on it, but, like, the piano is so far away,
yeah.
And he jumps out the window one step and he's out, but he jumps around 15 feet to get to the piano and then jumps out the window. I always noticed that, like,
it's like a few steps. Like Super Mario, where it's like,
yeah. He's like,
with the sound on the piano, yeah. And like, just like how the look of him,
it's very tough. So well done.
I gotta say, I'm liking Wiggum a lot in this episode, yeah.
Normally I can sort of take him or leave him, but he's doing well in this one.
And, you know, then you get Barney. I don't know how I feel about the, you know, appropriation of the Irish voice.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit,
But
a bit on the nose.
Yeah, like, now where's my toothpick?
Yeah.
But I do like when they're, like, the crowd, like, Wiggum forever.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just like... Smug.
And I assume, Dean, that was what they used to say when Ringo first joined the Beatles.
Yeah, I think it's to do with Pete Best.
Pete Best, it used to be Pete Best forever. Ringo,
was it?
Ringo never. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what they were saying, yeah. But,
you're the old Beatles expert, and just while we're on the subject, how long was Pete Best in the Beatles for?
He was there, I think, up until like 62, 63, like basically right before they became.
So, like, famous. Before they had an album?
I think, like, Love Me Do might have been like very late 62 or very early 63.
And he was
Pete Best was in it, I think, less than a year before they sort of had the single.
Okay, right. Yeah. So.
Ringo was in some other group that they loved, but I guess. I think someone did say, like, one of the producers, maybe it was George Martin or something, that said, like, oh, we can't have Pete Best or something like that.
Yeah, I did read that. The drummer, that, like, gotta get him out.
Yeah.
So
now you know the rest of the story.
So then, next part is we're on to the naming of the band.
We need a name that's witty at first, but seems less funny each time you hear it.
How about the B Sharps?
Perfect.
And like, I like how you get Wiggum. He was like, the B Sharps.
He's
like, all right, you're on the rest. His corruption. But I actually also like the little throwaway line where it's like, what are we going to call ourselves? Like, how about Handsome Homer Simpson plus three?
like they never go
for. Yeah. So... that was the ad break, I assume. And then we are back in the car, come back from the swap meet, and Bart has bought a cool pencil holder.
All right, man. I haven't seen a bong in years.
Now, here's something. When we were growing up, that was never in. That bong line was never in it.
The bong itself?
No,
the bong line?
Yeah. I haven't seen a bong in years. That was never.
Wasn't
it? I always cut it. Because I was like, I remember. I always remember being like, "Far out, man." I was like, that's a pretty good joke because Homer is in on it.
Yeah.
And then they go and like, well, if you didn't pick up on it,
just grab your face and like rub it in. How about this? Huh?
Yeah.
It's a wee joke.
Like, that. Yeah. It's a better line if it's like far out, man. Like one for the parents. Like,
yeah. You know,
it's like that's a bond.
Totally with you on that. Yeah. So Homer made some money anyway. He sold the spare tire. It's one of those. What could possibly go wrong?
I love the fact that it's not even a spoken thing. It's just got like. Marge is there in the background as he's telling the story.
Got a cheese carrier.
Look at this thing. He's like, well, it'll be a long time before your mother gets back, so why don't I tell you more of the story?
And I did like Homer writing at the piano. There was nothing in Al Capone's vault, but it wasn't Geraldo's fault.
Oh, yeah. I only actually just got that now. I wasn't even thinking about it.
It's great, like, Geraldo bit. So then Marge brings in a baby on board sign so people will stop intentionally ramming their car. Like,
I literally, anytime I'm in a car and I see a baby on board thing, I sing the song.
Yeah.
Baby on board.
Something, bird ward. And I really like the when they're in the recording, I don't know, just like the sound of the banjo.
Really
like soothing or something like that. Like,
is Baby on Board your favorite of the songs that's used in the episode?
It's
a trip to paradise. I do like
What was the first one? Hello my baby, hello my honey.
Oh yeah, it was the first one.
I don't know.
I think it'd be Coney Island Babe or Baby on Board.
I don't know. I do like Baby on Board. And then we get a little scene with Homer and the record exec or the theatrical agent. He wants him to keep it.
As well, just before you keep going, where he goes, gentlemen, you've just recorded your first number one.
Yeah.
That was from Beatles moment where they had, you know, because bands at the time didn't really sort of do their own stuff. And they were like, oh, we have our own stuff, you know. So they'd had Love Me Do, which was like, okay. And then it was when they had Please Please Me that they recorded that. And afterwards, George Martin's like, gentlemen, you've just recorded your first
brilliant.
So they love it. Anyway.
So what was he saying? Oh, yeah. He wants Homer to keep his marriage a secret to Bouffant Betty. A lot of women are going to want to have sex with you. And we want them to think they can. And Homer, that's obviously to do with John Lennon. Cynthia, was it?
Yeah, Cynthia.
So, like, that was obviously a thing. I never knew he was married.
It's funny, like, actually, because I've seen some interviews where it's like, and did your wife enjoy Miami? It's like, she did. What? You know, like, sort of like a joke. It's like, they're not supposed to know he's married.
Yeah.
And all this sort of stuff where you can tell he answered, like, she did. And like, you know, like, trying to make a joke about it. It's mad that they have to actually do that.
But when Homer's like, well, if I explain it to Marge that way, she'll understand. And the wail.
No. That always really bugged me.
I think it's great.
It seems so un-Marge, like.
But it seems so real, though. Like, and like, because she's got a bit younger as well. Yeah. Like, a bit more insecure, maybe.
Yeah,
like,
it makes sense. Yeah.
So. Then we get. Oh, yeah, he says, only till we finish our tour of Sweden.
Yeah.
So next, Grandpa is listening to it, and
that's my boy Homer singing
Paul Harvey song.
Nope. I'm that little boy who nobody liked grew up to be Roy Cohn.
Wow,
I don't know who that is. Do you know who that is?
Paul Harvey?
No, Roy Cohn.
No, I know. And now you know the rest of the story. So then we jump over, and this is like one of my favorite ones ever. It's, you know, various people listening to him.
Yeah.
And it's Captain McAllister and the giant squid. It's like, Squiddy, I got nothing against you. I just heard there was gold in your belly.
I like the fact that then they get back where they're listening to it on the radio, and he's like, Marge's like, you're going to be famous. I'm not going to let it change our lives. I'll still be the same great father I've always been. She's like, have you seen Bart? I stuck him somewhere. just clanking. Like, what's the situation there? What happened?
Why did he put him under a rock?
Like, the touch is putting that giant rock on, so he actually can't get out. Love it.
So next we have Homer with, he bought his dad a car.
I love this.
Oh, oh my god!
Straight away.
Give me the keys.
And I believe we're going to listen to the lads answering a few interview questions.
A bit of an old press conference.
Ooh,
I say it when we can play it.
I have a question for Apu de Beaumarchais. Isn't it true that you're really an Indian?
By the many arms of Vishnu, I swear it is a lie.
Bonnie, how did you join the group?
They found me on the men's room floor.
Principal Skinner, you've been referred to as the funny one. Is that reputation justified?
Yes. Yes, it is.
A short little clip there. Again, deferring to your Beatles knowledge, what is that in reference to, Andy? Why don't you tell the people at home?
Well, I'm sure most people will probably put it together, but I think it was when like the Beatles came to America for the first time, and like they didn't expect any sort of like fanfare or anything like that, but it was just like mobbed, so they were a bit like, oh wow, and it was just they were answering all these like stupid questions of like, is that your real hair? Like, no, we all wear wigs and all this sort of just like random just one liners for everybody. So that sort of is why they were like, you know, I don't know if they asked specifically, you're the funny one or anything like that, but like, it was just stuff
was
like
the,
that.
The quiet one for George Harrison?
I can't remember specifically, did they ask?
Are you the quiet one? He was like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always like that where it's like, with Skinner, it's like, yes, yes, it is.
Like, ah! I like the little thing, it's like, they found me on the bedroom.
Like, little tear.
Yeah, the tear. I love that whenever they do it.
It's such a nice touch.
That, like, Daryl Strawberry thing. Yeah. Like, he's professional, man. You can probably
get used to it.
So, next up, we get them performing at, I guess it's a.
It's in New York, but is it supposed to be the, I don't know if it's bicentennial, is that two?
Something, yeah, I don't know.
Because like, you said it's 200.
Yeah.
I know, 100 years. 100 years, so centennial. 200, yeah. And this guy, and I think it might be later on this season you get it again, where it's like, oh, this enormous woman with hours all. It's like, the PTA is disbanded.
Yeah. But I like the touch of the second one where it's like, no, the PTA is not this bad.
Yeah.
It comes back in. Dusts himself off.
And I like this. I have it in my notes, like Johnny Carson. I'm like, okay, Gilligan, the skipper, and Chief Wiggum. Name three castaways. Like,
shooting at the wall.
I found that line, Clancy, use the remote, was used a lot when we were in school
It was a real iconic one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Joan Rivers. Oh, can we talk about Chief Wiggum? Now, I'll stop the both of us there, Terry, because we've got a gem of a clip coming up, so I'll shut my mouth.
We had fame and fortune. Now all we needed was the approval of record company lowlives.
And the Grammy for Outstanding Soul, Spoken Word, or Barbershop Album of the Year goes to... The B-Sharps! Yay! Congratulations!
David Crosby, you're my hero!
Oh, you like my music?
You're a musician?
Then came the greatest thrill of my life.
Oh. Hello, Homer. I'm George Harrison.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God! Where did you get that brownie?
Over there. There's a big pile of them.
Oh, man.
Wow, what a nice fella.
Two absolute heroes featuring in this clip. I love the fact, and it's only after I sort of got the story of David Crosby and that basically, like, all through the 80s, he was just, he almost became like a joke for just like a string of like drug and weapons charges and all this sort of stuff. So it was only now that I get the joke where he's like, you're my hero. Like, oh, you like my music?
You're a musician?
And of course, it's Barney who looks up to him.
And it sort of makes sense as well.
Yeah.
Now saying that, like, the earlier appearance of him being like Lionel Hutz,
I love that gag so much still, of just like, oh my god, where did you get that brownie?
Yeah,
oh, what a nice man.
Yeah, I love that, like, line. Like, is there a whole table of them over there? Like, he's just stuffing his face, like, what a nice fellow, and he just walks off, like, as in the reaction I would have, like, Jesus Christ, yeah, like, what the fuck?
He loves it, like.
So, and that's the second Beatle to appear, and you can see obviously, like, John Lennon passed away before this. You can see, like, they started, the easiest one to get was going to be Ringo.
Yeah,
next one on the food chain, and then a few years later they get Paul McCartney, like,
yeah,
so like they're working their way up. So Lisa and Homer are on the phone, and I didn't like this. It's like, oh, you beat Dexy Midnight Runners. Like, you haven't heard the last of them. Like, it's a little bit of a, like, a slam there. A needless.
I think it's...
Why? Like,
because they're kind of, like, seen as, like, one-hit wonders.
Well,
I mean, are they?
They have other stuff that's good. Like, it's kind of,
they're
like...
They're not out-and-out one-hit wonders. Like,
that's their hugest hit. Like,
yeah.
And, like...
By miles.
But, like, they have other stuff that's sort of real, like, it's good, it's ska-type stuff. Like, right. You know, or, like...
Really,
it's good, but yeah, I just was like, that's a bit unnecessary, a bit mean. Like,
yeah,
also, he wasn't even nominated against him.
But did they announce the nomination?
It was like
earlier?
In the category of like Outstanding Soul, Spoken Word, a Barbershop.
Yeah.
Where does Dexy's Midnight Runners fit into that?
You know what? I'm actually glad that they mentioned that in the category of like just the obscure,
because
they do that at the Grammys where it's like. Like, they'll mix things that shouldn't be in the same category at all. Like, how are they all
Simpsons
running together?
Christmas boogies. they don't really like the Grammys.
I don't get the Grammy bashing.
Yeah.
Is it just that they just decide that they're just going to make a joke of the Grammys? Like,
but it's been throughout
it is
the run
of the
show.
Yeah.
It's a Grammy. But even, like, the whole thing, like later on where it's like, they win a Grammy for, like, supposed to be death metal, and it's like the Simpsons Christmas Boogie wins for that. Like,
right.
You know, I don't know. They just seem to have a real hard on.
Yes.
Yes. So, Homer orders champagne. He tips him with the Grammy.
Yeah. Even the waiter doesn't want it.
I think he went, hey, don't throw your garbage down here.
I love the.
Clunk.
Because it's like the clunk and the fall at the same
time. It's just completely, though, like,
stiff,
he's
like,
rigid, like,
I love the fall,
So we're back in the Simpson household, and they're going through the lunch boxes, coffee mugs, funny foam.
Now, I'll tell you what annoyed me in this scene, where Bart says, did you screw up like the Beatles and say you were bigger than Jesus?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, at the time, before I knew anything about the Beatles, I thought, like, oh, did that, like, end their career? Like, it's, like, far from it. It just seemed like they were putting in a bit of it, especially, like, it was only a scandal in America as well. It wasn't really, I don't think, a scandal here.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, the Bible Belt and all that, but I don't know. Like, it just felt weird that they said that, like, screw up like the Beatles. You know what I mean? Because, like, in the grand scheme of things, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought
didn't
that
really
was
hurt
a,
them, like,
I think they were fine after it.
I like the way it's like, all the time. It was the title of my second album.
Bigger than Jesus. Brilliant. For the barbershop quartet.
Yeah, like. And it's like, we're about to learn the iron law of show business. What goes up must come down. And then they start listing off. What do you mean? Bob Hope, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Tom Jones. And then it shows a clip of, and I guess I never mentioned it earlier. I love, you know, these flashback episodes where, like, Homer has hair.
And the kids are tiny.
And they have their, like, different, like, Bart's in his dungarees and stuff, like, and Marge tries to compensate for Homer's absence with
the thing that is, hi, kids, I love
rules. The balloon pops.
That's
on
Bart's face.
It's, like, terrifying. Like. And then we're gonna
we going to listen to?
We got our final clip of the evening. Now, look, we told you that we were going to wait till the end of the episode. And you know what? It's getting to the end of this one. We'll throw you a bone.
Yeah.
There's some music in this one. It's a great clip. So we will play it. Come back.
Meanwhile, the group was having problems of its own.
For all the latest medical poop. Call Surgeon General, see Everett Coop, Coop-a-doo.
This is worse than your song about Mr. T.
I pity the fool who doesn't like he. And where's Barney?
No, he's with his new girlfriend, the Japanese conceptual artist.
Barbershop is in danger of growing stale. I'm taking it to strange new places.
Number 8. Number 8. Number 8.
Then came the day we knew we were finished.
Gentlemen, Us Magazine just came out with its What's Hot and What's Not issue.
Are we hot?
We are not.
So, again, a big, heavy-duty Beatles reference here.
Yeah.
Duty. Grow up, Andy, will you? The whole Yoko Ono,
yeah,
of it all. What did you make of that? Like,
I thought it was funny. Yeah,
yeah.
I really liked the, like, you could really tell that they were fans with the number 8. Number 8.
I like the for all the ladies medical poop. Call Surgeon General, see Everett Coop, Coop Doop a Doo.
This is worse than you're talking about, Mr. T.
Just cool it with the Abu man, yeah, right?
I like the fact that, again, that seems like they were just like reading it off like the back of a thing. And I think that's probably a reference to Mr. Kite. Because, like, that's literally all the lyrics is just from, like, one poster that he saw, and he just jumbled them up together. So I'd imagine that that's sort of, like, a little nod to that, I suppose.
And we get the, are we hot?
We are not.
That's a great way. Like, that signifies the end of their career. Like,
yeah.
And next, it's kind of, there you see them all sort of going back to
their old lives.
And what did you think of this, where we saw in our very first episode Skinner coming back after summer vacation with Willie at the end of Camp Krusty? Remember, you see, or at the start of Camp Krusty, even, that with Skinner with sunglasses,
him and Willie.
And this is the exact, only it's he's coming back. Like, what did you do with your summer? He's like,
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, that's the first thing I saw. Is like when Willie, or when Skinner was going away for the summer, he had his sunglasses. It's the exact same frame. Little window out the back there. Yeah.
I can't believe I missed it.
Willie made millions of software and lost out the track.
Apu is back. I'm not going to do the accent. It may not be glamorous, but it's good, honest work.
What did you think? He wasn't rocking the usual Quickie Mart shirt.
Pick up on that
he
either.
Was wearing like a red one.
Didn't pick up on that at all.
It might have been because they've changed shirts since 1985. Who knows?
Makes sense.
Barney and his girlfriend go for...
I like the fact that when he's in there in Bowes and she says, like, I'd like a single plum floating in perfume served in a man's hat. The fact that he just lifts them up so quick. Like,
there you go. And we never talked about how it was actually Moe's Cavern.
At the time?
In this episode.
I didn't pick up on that either.
Yeah, it was Moe's Cavern because it's the Cavern Club.
Huge gaff that I missed there. Disgusted with myself.
And then we finally get Homer, and he's back, and his replacement is getting tired.
Some chicken.
Hey, Queenie, you can go home now.
I'll give her a good home.
Yeah. And Homer is 5.5 weeks at the top. Yeah. He fit a lot in.
A lot for 5.5 weeks.
Yeah. But it's nice that it's actually only over one summer.
Yeah.
You know?
I like the fact that the questions they ask are so on the nose. Yeah. Where it's like, how come we never heard about this until today? What happened to the money? Why haven't you up any of your gold records? When could you write a song? All like genuine questions as to why.
Yeah.
I'm sure like the writers ask themselves, can we even do it?
We're just going to brush this off to bed.
We'll just mention it at the end. Yeah.
And then we're at the end where Homer, it's actually quite a nice little bit where he's like looking at the the back of the album, which I think it's supposed to be Sgt. Pepper's. When they turn it over and it's like they're all facing, like Homer's turned around and is showing his arse crack, whatever. But it's like then he just picks up the phone, and then the next thing you know, they're back on top of Moe's, and he's asking the last time we're all together. Like on that stupid Dame Edna special last year. And then we get into a nice little song. Well, we're not going to play it yet. Because I want to talk about the little stingers in between that, like...
Why play it, though, when we can say it? Ready, Terry? Ba-bum, ba-bum. I won't do that to you, people.
But, like, the whole thing in between is like... Human fly here. Hello.
Hello. Human fly here.
I stay up all night dying my underwear. And then we get some sort of amalgamation of Nelson.
Yeah. Literally says ha ha.
He does the ha ha. Like, and Nelson's in the episode earlier on.
There's nothing you'd hear about the Beast. That's a great guy, actually.
And I don't know what. I think it gave me maybe my Beast laugh in the episode, with just like George Harrison pulls up in the limo. It's like,
yeah.
He just looks like there. He's like, whatever way they draw him, like the look of disdain, you know, like looks at it, it's like, it's been done.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And then we get like Chief Wiggum and Lou. He's like, pretty, oh, Chief.
Sure is. Get the tear gas.
And then we get a little thing that you told me about many moons ago, where Homer, over the credits, like, I'd like to thank you and hope you passed the audition.
Which is
care to explain?
From the rooftop gig, I think it is when, well, it's basically just what John Lennon said when they were doing the rooftop gig at the top of Apple Studios, where it was like, I think it was like the first time that they'd even played live together for like a good few years.
Because they stopped touring
and all that. So it must have been like a huge deal. My big issue is that like, when they played at the top of Apple Studios, like, it's such a big building. Like, unless you're up on top of the roof of the surrounding building, because all you're doing is sort of hearing it. It's still great, like, but anyway, yeah, that's something John Lennon said at the end of one of the songs, that I'd like to thank you on behalf of the group, and I hope you passed the audition. And I did get a big laugh.
So, shall we get into ratings?
Ratings!
So, first one back, Andy. How did you find this episode?
I didn't like it, Terry. I loved it. I thought, season 5 is probably my favorite season of The Simpsons anyway. It's just a great one to kick it off. It's just like, it felt like it was just written for me specifically. It's got all the things that I love in it. It's like a special sort of episode where it's like a one-off sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's got David Crosby in it, it's got George Harrison in it, it's mimicking the story of the Beatles, and they do it very well, and they don't just go with a lot of like the sort of standard Beatles stuff. Like, you could tell that they're fans of the Beatles with the little jokes they made,
deep cuts in there.
I just thought it was funny. Like, it felt very short, which is probably the sign of a good episode, that like, it really felt like it was almost like 14-15 minutes, because it was just sort of like kept going. It
clips along at a good pace.
It does clip along. It's the perfect term for it.
We got an MVP?
My MVP for this one. My MVP for this one is George Harrison.
Boo!
I actually was completely unprepared for that question. I was going to say Homer, but
we do it every week, man.
I'm going to go for it's been a while. I'm going to go for George Harrison, because I thought as cameos go, like as themselves, I thought it was quite a good one.
Okay.
It was very quick, but you know,
I will say this about him, that it doesn't feel like there's a reason for him being there. He's not shoehorned in.
Like, teen icon Britney Spears. Yeah. That's right, Lisa. I would give it, as a rating, I would give it a solid 8.8 out of 10. How about you?
Let me tell you my thoughts on it. I liked it.
Oh, I don't like where this is going. I do not like where this is going.
But I found myself, I don't know, maybe just like, I was anticipating it more so than how much I enjoyed it watching it.
Uh-huh.
I was a bit disappointed, I have to say.
Ooh, okay. Like,
I like it, and there's like when we were talking about it there, it's very funny and all. But I found myself, I wasn't laughing out loud too much.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of a that's good or a nod or whatever. Yeah. But like, yeah, like my mind sort of wandered a little bit. Like,
okay.
But the stuff I did laugh at was, I think in the front loaded. Like,
yeah,
like the Chief Wiggum stuff. He's my MVP for okay. this episode. I thought yeah. a lot of his stuff was very good. Like you say, the two bits of physical comedy where he like gets hit with the rock or like the jumping out the window. And I kind of felt when he sort of dropped out of it, like the last 10 minutes or so, then for me, it was like,
yeah,
you know,
quite.
I remember it being better, I guess. Like,
yeah,
that's what it was. But it's still, you know, better than most episodes of TV out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm going to give it a solid 8.2.
Okay.
8.2.
Okay. 8.2. Yeah, what did I give? 8.8.
Yeah.
I think this is the fourth time. Fourth time that you've given it
lower.
That you've given a lower score.
Than wow. Me. Okay. Yeah.
So it's a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
So just to mention that.
So what do we got coming up next?
Terry, funny you should ask that. I was completely prepared for this yeah. question, and if you'll just bear with me a second, I'll tell you now that the next episode is Season 5, Episode 2,
Cape
Fear.
Ooh, the lally!
The hits keep on coming.
Oh, my lord.
So, an absolute gem of an episode. Shall we get our plugs in before
sure.
we say goodnight?
So, you can still find us on Facebook. It's Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. You get us there.
Yes, sir.
There'll be a few clips and pics coming up now that we're back in the swing of things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where else can they find us?
They can find us on Twitter at Put It In H podcast. That's at Put It In H podcast. You can also find us basically anywhere that you get your listening from. iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, any Android podcast apps.
Apparently not Podcast Republic, somebody has told me.
What?
So
they didn't search for it right.
Okay.
Tell them, if you're listening to this, you didn't search for it right.
Yeah, like you say, on iTunes, you can leave us a rating or a review.
Yes.
Really helps.
In fact, we insist on it.
Yeah. We have talked about sort of plans for the year and possibly saying a website.
Big things.
But you know, that's the plan, website and maybe a bit of merchandise.
Oh yes, we are moving forward. If you're staying still, you're going backwards, huh?
Yeah, you said it. That is what you said.
Yes, you said those words.
And oh, lastly, you can drop us an email if you so choose at putitinhpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
That's putitinhpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, we do love to hear from the peeps. So anyone, if it's on Twitter or if it's on Facebook or in an email or whatever, feel free to ask us anything.
Yeah.
And I guarantee we will discuss it on air. And I think that's it.
We shall see you next week for Cape Fear.
And a one, and a two, and a three.
Boom, boom, boom.
Baby on board, how I'm adored. That sign on my car's window. Loaded with hep, 'cause I'm driving.